In our society, authority has become a bad word. We do not like to give someone power over our lives. We do not like to trust people who represent authority in any way, shape, or form. It seems that too many of us have had negative experiences with people in authority. Too many in positions of authority have abused the privilege and the power that comes with it. And so we are more inclined to rail against those in authority, everyone from politicians to police officers. There's a story about a distraught man perched on the edge of a high bridge, contemplating whether or not to jump. And the crowd stayed back at a safe distance so as not to overstimulate him. And all of a sudden, a police car came tearing up and screeched to a halt. And an officer leaped out, running over to the guy, pulled out his pistol and shouted, "If you jump, I'll shoot you dead." And the guy said, "Yes, sir," and climbed right down. Now, we can laugh at the humor in that story because we can't imagine anyone really falling for that kind of authoritative bravado. We live in a time when people want to work and play in a collegial fashion. Corporation hierarchies have been replaced with management teams. We look to build consensus, and we are prone to hold at a distance anyone who tries to get an upper hand. At most, we are willing to let someone be first among equals, but we prefer to be our own boss, our own authority, whether or not we know what we're talking about. The captain on the bridge of a large naval vessel saw a light ahead and saw that he was headed on a collision course. And he signaled, "Alter your course 10 degrees south." And the reply came back, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." Then the captain signaled, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain." And the reply, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a seaman third class." And the furious captain signaled, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." And the reply, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse." So when we do find ourselves in the position of having to submit to some kind of authority over our lives, we want to be absolutely certain that such authority is real. Nowhere is this more true than in the arena of faith and spirituality. We have simply become too cautious to allow ourselves to be guided blindly in matters of religion. There have been one too many religious charlatans in our time. And while most clergy still command the respect of their congregations, it is clear that the days when clergy ran the church are over. And both clergy and laity struggle to find ways to be co-workers in God's vineyard. In fact, not only is it the case that religious leadership and authority are freely questioned in our day, the various expressions of religious faith are also under critical review by those seeking a spiritual life. No longer can it be assumed that a child raised as a Presbyterian or even a Christian will remain that way. Baby boomers and post-baby boomers, millennials, have no reservation about challenging religious authority or leaving one religious tradition in favor of another. Presbyterians become Catholics and Christians become Muslims with remarkable ease these days. And so the question is a real one for our culture. Who is this Jesus of Galilee? And by what authority does he have a claim upon my life? The question of religious authority is not a new one. We heard this morning a passage of scripture from Deuteronomy which raised the issue of how to know if a prophet is really of God. Moses' life was almost over, and the people of God began to be concerned that after his death they would be left rudderless. And there would be many claiming to take his place of authority over them. They asked, how may we know that what a prophet tells us is the word of the Lord? And the answer was fairly simple. If the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word which the Lord has not spoken. And so in Old Testament times, the prophet's authority was often only recognized after years of prophecy come true. And sometimes that authority would not be accepted until long after the prophet's death. It's no fun being a prophet. And such was still true in Jesus' day. So when Jesus entered the synagogue and began teaching and healing there, all the religious people were beside themselves. What is this? They wondered. With what authority does he teach and command unclean spirits? And they obey him. They had not seen anyone like Jesus before, and they were not sure if they were prepared to recognize his authority. In fact, the question of Jesus' authority would haunt him through his entire ministry and go with him even to his grave. Is Jesus the one he said he is? Is Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one of God? Is Jesus really the one God has granted authority over the living and the dead? In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said wouldn't be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something else. Lewis is right. We do have to decide for ourselves if Jesus possesses the authority which can only come from God. But how shall we decide? How can we be confident that we are following the right leader? Well, perhaps we can find some objective criteria, such as that which Deuteronomy suggests. Look for evidence of God's word in the words and deeds of Jesus. And surely, if we did so, we would not be disappointed. Jesus' teachings have obviously stood the test of time, and there is ample record of his healing miracles. But in our cynical age, that simply may not be enough to convince us of Jesus' authority. And so in the final analysis, our decision to place our ultimate trust and devotion in his hands will simply not be an objective one. Finally, it is a matter of the heart. More precisely, it is a matter of God's Spirit planting the seed of faith and trust in us, and our conscious agreement to let that seed grow. We have to experience the forgiving love and mercy of Christ in our own lives. And we have to be willing to place our trust in Christ before we can fully comprehend his authority over our lives. In other words, we have to live with a leap of faith. An example. Suppose there is a fire in the upper section of a house. And as people gather in the street below, a child is seen at the window of a room next to the fire. The fire trucks are at least 5 minutes away, and so it will be too late to help. How is the child to escape? Now suppose that in the neighborhood lives a large man well known for his strength and athletic ability. And he arrives at the scene and shouts to the child, "Drop into my arms, don't be afraid, I'll catch you." Now it is one part of faith for the child to know that the man is there. It is another part of faith to believe that the man is strong and able to catch someone. But the essence of faith lies in the child dropping down into the man's arms. Finally, we must decide that Jesus is able to catch us. And then we must decide to drop into his arms. I believe you must be ready to discover Jesus' authority over your life. Why else would you be here? Why else would you come to hear about him, to sing about him, to pray through him to God, and to receive his love poured out at the cross of Calvary? The time has come to recognize and accept Christ's authority over your life, to commit yourself to his guidance and direction, and to devote yourself in service to his work in the world. There is or was no one else with real authority to lead us to wholeness of life, both in this world and the next. All authority, has been given to him by God. Can you imagine the number of words it took to write a 30-volume set of Encyclopedia Britannica? It must have been an awesome number. But an even more amazing thing is that only 26 different letters were used. The authors didn't have to go outside of the alphabet to assume that massive collection of knowledge. It provided for them everything they needed for this one task. Jesus Christ called himself the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we do not have to go outside of him for anything that we need. He is God's everything. He is real authority. Let us pray. O God, teach our hearts to follow Christ every day and to accept him as Lord and Savior of our lives. May we grow in his love and learn from his example and finally trust in his saving grace. Amen.